Our scripture today comes from Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 36. Listen for the word of God. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. They're all there together with Jesus, with the disciples. Moses of the mountain, Elijah of the mountain, the great prophets of God who on the mountain saw God's glory. Long ago, Moses climbed the mountain alone. The pillar of fire and the cloud by which God had led the people from Egypt settled on the jagged mountain peak. And after the people around him cowered before the voice speaking the Ten Commandments, they announced that they could not stand to be close to the intensity of God's presence, even speaking distance. So Moses climbed alone. He left even his high priest of a brother and his songwriting sister at the foot of the mountain and climbed, and on his perch above the earth, he was in the dense cloud, heavy with the presence of God. And he heard the words of the law that he would speak with his stammering tongue. Moses and God face to face in the darkness of the cloud. That is what is spoken of Moses on the mountain. And he returned from the mountain to find that the Israelites had made a statue of a calf and worshipped it, rebelling against even those words they had already heard before they could hear more. And he spoke in fury and broke the tablets of the law and climbed the mountain once again in solitude and anger with God. And Moses said to God then, "Show me your glory." And the response to Moses was that to see the glory of God face to face would be too much even for you, Moses. Too much intensity, like the sun is too bright to look at straight on, like a size the mind cannot grasp. You can see only the after image, the residue of glory. And Moses decided that was enough. And he hid in the cleft of the rock as the glory of God passed by and came out to see everything shining. And when Moses returned among the people, even the reflection of glory in his face was too much for the people to look upon. So he shrouded his face whenever he walked with ordinary people. He only took his shroud off when he would return to the mountain to talk with God. He would stay at those times at the place where heaven and earth met most closely, most unbearably closely. And then he could shine fearlessly with God's glory. And he did so. And the tribes of Israel lived after Moses, generation to generation, till the first kings were anointed, and the next kings rebelled and split north and south and fell to brutality and war and the worship of false gods as bloody as the kings were. And King Ahab ruled in Samaria from his war chariot, invoking the name of Baal, the winged and horned god, bull god from the coast. Ahab, who put to the sword the prophets of the Lord God who had spoken the law from the mountain. And against him and his bloody hands spoke the prophet Elijah. Elijah, who brought fire from heaven and wrought miracles on the earth till he was broken down from speaking the truth, tired of seeing faithful people die and powerful people ignore justice and the God of justice. And Elijah cried out to God and announced he could take no more of it. And he fled into the wilderness and was led on the strength of heavenly food and secretive angel guides to the mountain of God where Moses had once seen glory. And so in those days, Elijah too climbed the mountain of God alone and hid in the same crack in the rock where Moses had stood as nature's fury whirled outside. There was on that mountain fire empty of God and thunder empty of God and a whirlwind that was also empty of God. For God refused to be confused with fire and thunder and whirlwind. Refused to just be another one of the ways in which humanity worships power. And instead, the presence of the glory came only with stillness and silence, a silence more intense than any wind or thunder, and Elijah wrapped his face in a shroud and emerged into the glory of God. For there, Elijah was at the place where heaven and earth met most closely. He had his words with God face to face in the unspeakable presence of glory. And he learned that the land was not so faithless as he thought, that in secret there are still those loyal to God, that he had a successor, another prophet who would be great as he, who was still farming his cows. But on the mountain with the glory, he was still solitary. The wonder was for his shrouded eyes only, and he alone saw it till he was taken from the surface of the earth. The glory was an intensity half seen out of the side of one's eyes in after images, something only solitary prophets at the height could see. There, at the top of the mountain where they climbed alone. Jesus does not climb the mountain alone. He has been alone on peaks before, but now he has brought disciples with him on this day. Not a full crowd, those who had gathered to hear his words and see his wonders have dispersed or remained behind, but three disciples with Jesus, Peter and James and John. They come up the mountain to pray. They do not seem to expect more than prayer and time with Jesus. This man they have followed in his mysterious magnetism. They have known him as a leader, as a miracle worker, perhaps even as a Messiah. But now they see him as more. For unprovoked, unprepared, they see what the multitude of Israel could not look upon, what even the greatest of prophets had only seen as a reflection in a shroud. They see the glory face to face, for Christ has taken them up the mountain with him. "This is my son," the voice of God proclaims. In case there was any doubt, they were seeing the very glory of God, shining through human flesh, brighter than Moses or Elijah had ever seen on their lonely mountain. And then, out of time, no longer alone, Moses and Elijah see it too. The way Christ was changed. Or at least his appearance changed. Maybe it's more like he was shown for who he really was. One of the great theologians of the church said it this way: Christ was transfigured before them not by changing into something he never was before, but by revealing to his disciples what he truly was, opening their eyes, giving sight to those who were blind. For while remaining identical to what he had been before, he appeared to the disciples in splendor. For he is indeed the true light, the radiance of glory is who Jesus is. And then the vision passed. They do not see the glory anymore. They just see this person, Jesus. But they could not forget that Jesus is this glory. Even when he returns with them to the mud, to sick bodies that he puts his hands on, scars and scabs, to sick hearts and minds, even when that face which had shone brighter than the sun was shadowed and blooded and disfigured on the cross, Jesus still was the glory of God. And as he rose and by the Spirit took up residence within them, the glory shone there too. Each of their human hearts became a mountaintop, lit up and shining. For the glory of God, too bright for human eyes, the very place where heaven and earth have met, is come to live in us.